Welcome back to the Guildhall Podcast. So, we have been on a bit of a hiatus, I'm sure people have noticed, basically because of changes, life changes, and scheduling conflicts, we haven't really been able to get together that much recently. So, to tide people over, I did a bit of an experiment. Today, you're going to hear me running a bunch of AI adventurers through a campaign. This is to finish off the Feywild storyline, which my players have largely ignored. All the voices you hear will be AI-generated. All the decisions that they make are AI-generated. The only thing that is non-AI is the narrator, quote-unquote me. Anything that is said by the narrator is going to be me as the DM giving input into the story. I hope you guys enjoy. Take care. And hopefully I'll see you guys at the table soon. Welcome back to the Guildhall Podcast. Please visit us at the-guildhall.net and join us on Discord.
Our scene. Valarissa receives a letter from Elendil at the party's small room at the Guildhall. Elendil has purchased an estate in the Noble's district. She doesn't know where he could have acquired the money, since they were almost copperless when they entered the town. She told him not to steal last time they spoke, since she is a paladin.
Valarissa laid down the parchment, her brow furrowed, as she read the words that had been scrawled upon it. A small smile tugged at the corner of her lips as she glanced around the modest room, trying to imagine what the place she had been invited to would look like. So, you have finally done it. You have found a way to fulfill your dream and start a new life, just like you always wanted to. I cannot help but be a little jealous of your success, my dear friend, she murmured. The warmth of the smile that danced upon her lips, reflecting her true feelings. She knew that Elendil had always dreamed of having a place of his own, somewhere where he could retreat and let the chaos of the world fade away. Valarissa closed the parchment, folding it neatly into a small square, as she stood up, her hand resting lightly upon her own long spear, as she moved towards the window. I must confess, I am a little shocked that you were able to acquire such a place, especially given the circumstances we were in when we first arrived in this city.
A few hours later, Valarissa finds Elendil's estate. It is an old home in the Noble District. It was not very well maintained. Weeds have overgrown, and the house is in some disrepair, but it is a sizable plot. The house, when properly repaired and furnished, would have around 12 rooms.
Valarissa gazed upon the estate with a mix of disbelief and excitement as she approached its crumbling steps. It was not the grand palace she had expected from Elendil's letter, but something much more humble. She could not help but feel a little disappointed as she surveyed the overgrown yard, the weeds crawling across the walls as if to reclaim what had once belonged to the land. But despite the home's outward appearance, she knew that her friend had not only the power, but also the love, to turn this place into the home he had always dreamed of. I knew you wouldn't have told me about this just because, but never thought. Elendil, how did you manage to get your hands on something like this? Where did you get the money to purchase such a plot of land? She asked, as she looked back at him with wide eyes, her brow furrowed, as she tried to decipher his secrets.
You know me, always keeping a few secrets tucked away. Elendil smirked, his eyes twinkling with mischief as he gestured towards the old estate. I may have acquired some treasures while exploring Cassius. Treasures that might just have the ability to make dreams come true. He said, his voice taking on a hint of a seductive lilt as he leaned in closer to his friend, a mischievous glint shining in his eyes.
Tomaris and Gromgar arrive at the estate after receiving their own message from Elendil.
The tiefling's eyes widened as he caught sight of the dilapidated estate, his hand instinctively going to his hip as he leaned in closer to Gromgar, trying to catch his friend's eye and gauge his reaction. This place is a bit worse than I expected, and I know what to expect from what Elendil told us about this place. So you think this might be why he had been so quiet all this time, huh? He asked as he ran his hand along the rough weathered stone of the building, a soft murmur escaping his lips as he marveled at the history and tales that lay within this seemingly forgotten home.
The dwarf's eyes grew wide as he took in the sight of the dilapidated estate before him, the rough, weathered stone of the building seeming to tell a story of a past that had been left to fade into obscurity. His fingers curled into a tight fist at his side as he surveyed the land, a deep-seated longing and regret surfacing within him as he remembered the thoughtful, The countless years he had spent wandering the lands of Rodania, seeking nothing more than the chance to return home and stand by the side of his wife once again. He turned his eyes back to Tamaris, a soft murmur of agreement escaping his lips as he nodded towards the house. I believe you are correct. Something tells me that our friend Elendil is not one to allow such an opportunity to pass him by. The question now is, what kind of treasure has he managed to uncover?
As the old friends gathered around him, Elendil could feel the tension rising between them. His words were met with silence, the only sounds being the creaking of the old wooden steps beneath their feet as they all stood before the once proud home. He knew that he had to give them more, a reason to understand why he had done such a thing. I will give you all the details once I have the chance to explore this place in a bit more detail, but trust me, you will be impressed. I know I will. There is more to this estate than meets the eye, he said with a knowing smirk, his eyes shining with excitement as he took the key from his pocket and placed it into the rusty lock that held the heavy oak door shut.
The party discovers that the inside is much more well-maintained than it would outwardly appear. While it isn't overly decorated, it seems to be comfortable enough. Cooking pots in the kitchen, the rooms, while sparse, are clean, with new linens on the bed. In the wine cellar, a weapons rack and several dummies are set up. Thieves' equipment lines the walls, and several old chests appear to have been emptied in the distant past.
You see, this place was my own little haven, away from prying eyes and overzealous lawmen. I knew of the potential for a place like this in the heart of Cassius, one that would serve as the perfect hideaway for one as elusive and cunning as myself. And so, I made it my own, he said, his voice echoing through the empty hall as he gestured towards the walls, the weapons that lined them gleaming under the soft light of the torches that lit the room. He walked towards the large chest at the far end of the hall, its surface worn and scratched with countless scratches, each one telling the story of its content. He said, his eyes gleaming with excitement, as he beckoned his friends to come and explore the hidden treasures of the estate that he had always kept for himself.
Elendil appears to be younger as he walks the ground, his mind taken back to many of the adventures of yesteryear. Then he remembers the adventure today, and the gift he has for Tamaris and Gromgar.
As I walked through the halls of my own old safe house, my mind wandered back to the countless adventures that I had experienced here. It was here, in this very place, that I had planned and executed some of my most daring heists, always staying one step ahead of my foes, until finally, the thrill and the danger had become too much for me to bear.
Tamaris looks at Elendil, the smile on his lips growing wider as he listens to his friend's stories. The warmth of his words is like a balm to his heart, a reminder that there are still those who remember him and the things he was capable of.
Gromgar, too, can't help but marvel at the tales of adventure that his friend is weaving. He listens with rapt attention, the smile on his lips never once faltering, as he imagines the scenes of action and intrigue that must have transpired in this place.
And so, it came down to the vault at the heart of the Thieves' Guild, a vault that was said to hold the most valuable treasures that any thief in the city had ever dared to dream of possessing. And I had one thing that all the others did not, the key to the vault. It was an incredible thing, Tamaris. And once I stepped inside, I knew that this was the moment that I had been waiting for all of my life. I spent the rest of the day in a state of pure bliss. The vault held treasures beyond my wildest dreams, artifacts from other lands, each one more precious than the one before it. But then, I stumbled upon something that would forever change the course of my life. It was a sword as magnificent as it was beautiful, with a blade as sharp and keen as any that I had ever seen. The finest smith crafted it for the Redanian king, using a metal that was known for its exceptional strength and resilience. I knew from that moment on that this was the sword that was meant for me, and I had to have it. A strange silence settled over the room as Elendil's words hung in the air, their implications resonating within the hearts of his friends. He knew that he had done something truly extraordinary, a thing that had never been done before, at least not in all the centuries that the city of Cassius had been alive. He had managed to penetrate the heart of the most notorious criminal organization in all the land, and he had emerged from its depths with treasures beyond measure. And yet, even in the face of such glory and accomplishment, he could not help but feel a sense of inadequacy, of failure.
As Elendil narrated, she noticed Lila and Gromgar exchanged knowing glances, sensing the bittersweet emotion behind her voice as he recounted his victory. Even so, she knew there was more to Elendil than the story he told, more than the glint of a vorpal sword. Her ears pricked at every subtle change in tone or pitch that betrayed the man she'd come to know over the past few days. Her eyes flashed with fierce affection, and with that thought in mind, the night grew even quieter as everyone awaited Elendil's next words with bated breath.
"So here is the sword," Elendil continued, holding up the magnificent blade for his friends to see. The light from the torches dancing across its surface, illuminating the blade from hilt to tip. The blade appears to cut even the light itself as it touches the surface, and yet it is not adorned with any runes or carvings. No decorations or illustrations, for that would reduce the blade. It is a pure blade, one that has been made for its singular purpose by one who has perfected the craft. The beauty is in its form alone, a sword of legends, a symbol of strength and honor, a thing of beauty beyond compare. But more than that, it is a thing of power. A power that only one who is worthy of wielding it shall ever possess.
Gromgar immediately recognizes it as the blade of the former king of Rodania before he died under the crushing waters. It was one gifted to the boy to be wielded when he finally became a man, and it is a blade that never got the chance as he died still as a boy. A mixture of apprehension and realization dawns on him. The dwarves of the Ironwrought Mountain swore an allegiance to the king, but those days are long gone, and the dwarves kept their independence after the War of the White Worm.
Gromgar's eyes grew wide as he recognized the blade, a mix of awe and apprehension coursing through his veins. He knew that the blade of the former king was a symbol of power and prestige, one that was said to have been forged with the very essence of the dwarven spirit. He wondered to himself what fate had brought this weapon to his friend's hands, and what kind of destiny it was meant to fulfill. He knew that the choice of who should wield this blade was not his to make, but he couldn't help but feel a twinge of guilt and unease at the thought of handing it over to Tamaris.
As his fingers made contact with the hilt of the magnificent blade, a sudden surge of energy washed over Tamaris. He could feel the warmth of the metal as it pressed against his palm, a sensation that seemed to resonate deep within the very core of his being. He knew instantly that this blade was no mere piece of art, no mere symbol of power. It was a living embodiment of the pact he had made with the stars themselves. And now, more than ever, he felt a renewed sense of purpose, a newfound determination to face the challenges that lay ahead. He looked up at his friends, his eyes shining with a mixture of gratitude and reverence as he accepted the blade into his keeping.
She knew how important this moment was, how it signified not only the transfer of an artifact of legend, but also the strengthening of the bond between those she watched. She listened closely to Tamaris's words, and could not help but feel a swell of pride and hope rise within herself. She knew the road that lay ahead would be challenging, filled with trials and temptations, but with each other as support she trusted that they would emerge stronger, brighter, and better.
Gromgar felt a strange sense of responsibility wash over him as he watched Tamaris accept the sword, a responsibility that he had never felt before in his long and storied life. He knew that the blade he had just given away was more than just a symbol of power and prestige. It was a testament to the strength and resolve of the dwarf people, a legacy that had been passed down from one generation to the next for centuries. And now that legacy rested upon the shoulders of his friend, a man whom he did not truly know, a man whom he had only recently come to trust. He knew that the road ahead would be long and fraught with peril, but he also knew that Tamaris had the strength within himself to rise up and face whatever challenges lay before him. "I swear to train you in the ways of the fighter, my friend, for it is only through discipline and determination that a warrior can truly prove their worth."
He turned his head back towards Gromgar, a determined glint shining in his eyes as he replied, "I will not let you down, Gromgar. I will prove myself worthy of wielding this blade, of being the instrument of the dwarven people's legacy. I swear it as I swear to stand by my friends, as I swear to see this quest through until the end, no matter what lies before us. For the dwarves of Ironwrought, and the friends I hold dear."
Valarissa could not help but laugh at the exchange between her friends, her voice ringing out across the room like the sound of a joyful songbird. She knew that Tamaris had accepted this challenge, and she knew that he would need all the training he could get in order to be worthy of wielding the blade he now possessed. She looked at Gromgar, her eyes shining with a mix of admiration and determination. "I will stand by your side, Gromgar. We will see to it that Tamaros becomes the warrior that this sword demands, and that we stand victorious against the enemies that threaten our quest.
The dwarf looked at Valerissa, his eyes twinkling with a mix of respect and appreciation. Thank you, my lady paladin. Your words give me strength, and your oath is as good as gold. We shall stand together, Gromgar, Tamaris, and yourself, and together we shall see the enemy fall before our feet, and the dream of the Spring Fae come true. But first, we must begin the task of turning Tamaris into the warrior that this sword and the legacy of iron wrought deserves, he said, his voice filled with a determination and purpose that could not be mistaken. And then he turned back towards his friend, the fire of his gaze burning with an intensity that made it clear that he was not going to accept anything but the very best from those who stood by him in this moment. Come then, Tamaris, for you have much to learn and little time to waste. Dawn is already on its way, and there will be much to do before we set out into the unknown once again.
His eyes sparkled with excitement as he spoke of the Forger's Pride Axe, a weapon of legend that was said to have been forged in the depths of the iron-wrought mountains, where the very essence of the dwarven people's strength and craftsmanship had been poured into the metal itself. The story he told was one of wonder and awe, of a weapon that was so finely crafted that it seemed almost like an extension of the smith who had made it, a living embodiment of the raw power that dwelt within the ancient land from which it had been forged. The Forge's Pride Axe was once the prized possession of the dwarven clans who dwelled in the iron-wrought mountain. It was said to have been forged in the very heart of the mountain, where the air was thick with the heat of volcanic fires, and the earth was solid as steel. And it was there, in that place of raw, unbridled power, that the dwarves poured their souls into the metal that they had shaped into this magnificent axe. Elendil paused for a moment, letting his words sink in before continuing.
Gromgar's face was a picture of shock, as the words of the tale flowed out of Elendil's mouth. He could hardly believe what he was hearing, his heart pounding wildly within his chest as his mind tried to make sense of it all. The Forge's Pride Axe, how could it have come into the hands of the thieves of Cassia? And what purpose did this piece of legendary lore serve for them now, after so many centuries? He looked up at the dwarf standing beside him, his eyes shining with a mix of disbelief and determination.
Valerissa listened to Gromgar's tale, a soft gasp escaping from her lips as she realized the full implications of Elendil's words. The Forge's Pride Axe, an artifact of legend and reverence, had been stolen from the dwarven clans of iron, wrought, and now found itself in the hands of a group of thieves in Cassia. It seemed almost impossible that such a thing could have come to pass, yet the truth of it lay there in front of her, staring her right in the face. She could see the raw emotion playing across Gromgar's face, and she knew that she had to act quickly, to do whatever was necessary to restore this hallowed artifact to its rightful place in the dwarven clan.
She listened with a fierce intensity to Elendil's tale of the stolen Forge's Pride, her ears pricking at the name of such an artifact. She couldn't help but feel a deep connection to the story, knowing that this axe had a powerful history behind it. It was more than just a piece of ancient craftsmanship. It was the heart and soul of an entire people. And to hear that it was now in the grasp of Cassius's most notorious criminals, the idea sent a chill down Mistweaver's spine that had nothing to do with the cold night air.
Elendil could see the shock and disbelief etched onto the faces of his companions, but he knew that the truth was too incredible to deny. The Forge's Pride Axe, an artifact of such great significance and reverence, had indeed been stolen from the dwarven clans of iron wrought by the hand of the King of Rodania himself. As you well know, Gromgar, the dwarves of iron wrought had always been fiercely protective of their most treasured possessions, and among those possessions was the Forge's Pride Axe. This weapon was not only a testament to the great craftsmanship of the dwarves, but it was also seen as a symbol of hope and resilience. But despite all of this, King Richard saw fit to take it from his most trusted allies. It was a betrayal of the highest order, one that would have left the dwarves in shock and anger if they found out about it. Elendil paused for a moment, his voice dripping with emotion as he looked up at the sky. But the tale of the Forge's Pride Axe does not end with this betrayal.
She listens as Elendil reveals that it is in the King of Rodania's vaults. She can hardly believe it. That the axe which should have been used to defend and protect was instead hoarded for its power.
I would present this to you in person, old friend, but the weight of the blade is too much for me. Even though I do not understand why this has happened to the dwarves, I understand what this symbol means to them. It is not just a blade of power, but a blade of honor. It has been in your hands before, and in the hands of your ancestors. It is your right, as well as that of your people, to have it returned to its rightful place.
Grongar reached out with shaking hands, his fingers barely able to make contact with the handle of the axe. He could not believe that this was happening. The very same axe that his people had been searching for these many years now rested safely in his grasp. And the hands that had given this precious artifact to him? Those of his old friend Elendil. Grongar felt a sudden wave of emotion wash over him, his eyes growing misty with unshed tears as he looked at the axe before him. He knew that this was the truest form of destiny, to return to his people the symbol of their hope, the very heart and soul of the iron-wrought mountains.
Valarissa felt a strange mix of emotions as she watched Grongar accept the axe from Elendil's hands. She knew that the blade was of the utmost importance to the dwarves, a symbol of their strength and resilience, but at the same time she could not help but feel a sense of pity for those who had once owned and now stood to lose this precious artifact. It was a complex situation, one that spoke not only of betrayal and deceit, but also of the eternal struggle for power and control that had defined the course of history for countless centuries.
His voice was filled with emotion as he held out the whispering seraphim lute, a gesture that spoke of the greatest secret of all. His companions, their eyes wide with wonder and surprise, reached out to take the instrument from his trembling fingers, their hearts pounding in their chests as they felt the weight of destiny resting upon them. The whispering seraphim lute, a legendary instrument said to have been used by the bards of old to weave songs of love and war, to tell tales of kings and heroes. Elendil paused, letting his words sink in, before continuing. Now I offer it to you, my friends. It is yours to use, to wield in our quest. May the music of the seraphim be our guide as we walk the path to the truth behind the Spring Fae's betrayal. May we sing with one voice and one heart to unite all of Redania against the shadows that have cast their long and dark gaze over us.
Layla's eyes widened in shock and disbelief as she heard the words of the ancient bards. The whispering seraphim lute, one of the greatest artifacts of the Feywild, was to be wielded by the company. A chill ran down her spine as she thought about the implications, the responsibilities, the consequences of such an act.
Ilara's eyes sparkled with excitement and wonder, her mind already whirling with ideas of spells and incantations that she could weave using this legendary instrument. But beneath her surface joy, she also felt the weight of Elendil's words, the quest for the truth about the Springfire's betrayal was of utmost importance, and now the company had been entrusted with one of the most powerful instruments in all the Feywild to aid in their mission.
Grongar looked at the lute. He did not know what to make of it. The axe was something he understood, but the lute had earned a legendary status.
Elendil begins to play the lute, but the notes come out discordant.
With trembling hands, Elendil picked up the lute, his eyes closed as he felt the resonance of the ancient instrument in his soul. He took a deep breath, gathering the strength and will that had kept him going all these years, and began to play. The notes that first rang out from the strings were sharp and discordant, almost as if they were trying to break free from the lute itself. But Elendil was undeterred, his heart pounding in his chest as he poured every ounce of emotion he could muster into his playing. No matter the trials or tribulations we may face, he whispered, as the final notes faded into silence, the whispering seraphim lute shall be our guiding light, a testament to the eternal spirit of love, hope, and perseverance.
The party watches as Elendil attempts to play the legendary instrument as it seems to fight him for every note.
The silence was broken by a series of sharp, discordant notes as Elendil continued to wrestle with the lute. Despite his efforts, the instrument seemed to have a mind of its own, each note ringing out like a warning, a plea for the company to take heed and listen carefully. No matter the trials or tribulations we may face, he began again, his voice wavering slightly, as he felt the lute begin to vibrate against his very soul. The whispering seraphim lute shall be our guiding light, a testament to the eternal spirit of love, hope, and perseverance.
She felt a strange energy emanating from the lute as Elendil played it. The note sounded discordant, like the voice of someone speaking an alien language. A chill ran down her spine, as if she had just stepped into a dark corner and had been struck by an unseen force.
Ilara's eyes widened in shock as she felt the power emanating from the lute, the discordant notes reaching deep into her very soul. She could sense the raw magic within the ancient instrument, its ability to tap into the very essence of existence and bring forth secrets and revelations that had been hidden away for countless centuries.
Valarissa felt the hairs on the back of her neck stand up as the discordant notes of the lute rang out. The energy of the instrument seemed to seep into her bone, a strange sensation that left her breathless and trembling. But despite her fear, she could not deny the truth that lay behind the ancient bard's instrument. It held within it the power to bring forth answers to questions that had long been unanswered, and to guide the company on their quest towards the truth of the Springface betrayal.
The dwarf stood in awe as Elendil played the ancient lute, each discordant note sending a shiver down his spine. He could feel the weight of history resting upon the instrument, the echoes of the bards of old ringing out as if to speak with voices of long ago. It was a strange and haunting sound, one that stirred deep within Grongar's soul. The dwarf could not help but marvel at the power that this lute held within it, a power that spoke of a time and a place that had long since passed, but which still lived on in the hearts of those who wielded its magic.
It's not responding like I had hoped it would, not yet. Perhaps it will come to me in time.
As he stood there, listening to Elendil play the lute, he felt a strange connection forming within his heart. A connection that he knew could only come from the deep bond of friendship that he shared with these two souls who had become such an integral part of his life. No matter where this journey may lead us, I know that we shall face it together, hand in hand. And so long as I have you by my side, Elendil, I can face anything that this world may throw at me. Tamaro Said, his voice filled with a determination and resolve that could not be mistaken.
Tamaros feels uneasy in his stomach as his hand gently touches the top of his new sword. He knows the power of the blade, and he himself will need to live up to it also.
As Ilara listened to Elendil's words, a deep sense of longing and desire stirred within her. She had always dreamed of wielding the lute, of being able to tap into its incredible power, and to use it to aid her in her quest to uncover the secrets of the Feywild. And now, with this ancient instrument finally in her hands, Ilara felt a new determination and resolve burning within her. I am ready for whatever comes our way. The lute may not have responded yet, but I know in my heart that one day, we will make the most beautiful music that anyone has ever heard, a music that will change the course of history itself.
Tamaros looked down at his sword, the Vorpal blade that now rested in his hand. The weight of it was strange, like nothing he'd ever experienced before. It felt as if the very essence of power was flowing through it, waiting to be unleashed at the slightest sign of aggression. And though he was still getting used to it, Tamaros knew that he could never go back to wielding just any weapon again. This blade was special. It was more than just a tool. It was a symbol of his strength, his courage, and his determination. It was the very thing that made him the warrior that he was meant to be, and he would honor it with his every action.
She looks over at Elendil with affection. You will master the lute, my friend. You have always had the ability to connect with its spirit in a way no one else has. Her eyes sparkle with a mix of faith in his abilities and her love for him.
Grongar feels nothing but dwarven pride and determination from the axe. He has been wielding an axe since he was a boy, and every dwarven axe is built for their warriors. He knows he will deliver it to his king, but for now, he would use it for their quest.
Grongar looked down at the forge's pride axe with a fierce determination, his heart filled with the pride that only a dwarf could feel for an instrument that had been used by his people for countless generations. He knew that he had been entrusted with a great honor, an honor that he would not let the dwarves of iron rot down, a duty that he would fulfill until his final breath. And as he looked at the blade that was so precious to his people, Grongar could not help but marvel at the craftsmanship of the dwarven forgers who had made Day such a magnificent instrument, an instrument that spoke not only of the strength and resilience of the dwarves, but also of their unwavering determination and unbreakable spirit.
Nightfall on the estate, the party each retire to their own rooms. The first night they can rest easy together in a long time. Ilara and Tamaris, finally reunited after so long, spend the evening together. The old lovers found themselves together again.
Ilara could hardly believe her eyes when she found herself face to face with her old love, Tamaris Nebulan. The years seemed to melt away as she looked at his familiar features, at the warmth that emanated from his body as he embraced her. The tears she had been holding back began to fall from her eyes, a testament to the joy that was flooding her soul. "You look just the same," she whispered, her voice trembling with emotion. "I never forgot about us, you know. Even though we drifted apart, even though the years have passed, you have never left my heart."
"I've never forgotten you, Ilara," Tamaris replied, his voice low and filled with the same emotions that had been coursing through Ilara's body since their reunion. "You have been with me every step of the way, even when I didn't realize it. You were the star in my sky, the sun in my heart. I thought I had lost you forever, but now that I see you again, I know that everything will be all right." He smiled softly at her, a mix of love and joy and sorrow all at once, and Ilara's heart melted into his arms as she pressed herself close to him, her tears slowly coming to an end. "My love, my everything. You are with me now, and nothing can ever take you away from me again," he whispered, his breath warm against her ear.
As the two lovers lay together, time almost stops as Ilara sees the seams of the weave again, the first time since she saved Tamaris from Mr. Red's grasp.
As the two lovers lay together, in each other's embrace, time seemed to stand still for a moment, and Ilara found herself seeing the seams of the weave again. She could feel the fabric of reality shifting around her, the colors of the cosmos dancing in and out of focus as her eyes adjusted to the ethereal sight before her.
It seemed to call out to her. She could feel the arcane energy filling her body.
"Tamaris, the weave, it is trying to speak to me," she murmured, her voice trembling with the strange energy that was coursing through her veins. She could feel the arcane power within her body, the ancient magic that had been hidden away for so long, now beginning to stir and awaken, calling out to her, to guide her, to empower her as she stood on the precipice of a great new destiny.
Tamaris sees Ilara, a glow encompassing her body, reaching for something he cannot see. Then he sees her arm appear to pass behind a curtain in the world as she begins to enter another plane, beyond which he cannot see.
"Ilara, what?" he cried out as he watched her vanish into nothingness, her body seeming to dissolve as she entered another plane of existence, beyond which he could not see. "My love, please," he cried out, reaching out for her as she disappeared into the veil of the weave, but she was gone. Gone beyond his reach, and he could only watch in helpless despair as the last shred of reality faded away, leaving nothing but the vast and mysterious depths of the cosmos behind.
As Ilara entered the other plane, the strange energy that had been coursing through her body seemed to intensify, her very form beginning to shimmer and fade away into nothingness. But even as the colors of reality danced and twisted around her, she could feel the power within her growing stronger, more intense than anything she had ever experienced before.
Something ancient within her appears to awaken as she can feel the energy touch her body. She can grasp the very essence of the planes.
"I am not lost, my love," Ilara whispered, her voice echoing strangely as she moved through the vast expanse of the cosmos. She could feel the power within her growing stronger, more intense than anything she had ever experienced before. It was an energy that touched her very soul, an energy that spoke of a time and a place beyond this mortal realm, an energy that called out to the ancient essence that dwelt within her own being. "I am at the threshold of a great new destiny. I have been awakened, Tamaris. I am no longer the Ilara that you knew before," she said, her voice ringing out with a newfound strength and determination that spoke of the true depths of her power.
Ilara awakens back in bed, Tamaris still asleep. Sweat glistens across her body as she sees the faint light fading inside of her.
As Ilara opened her eyes, she found herself back in her own room, lying next to Tamaris, who was still fast asleep beside her. But even as her body returned to its physical form, she could still feel the strange energy that had awakened within her, the power that she had been able to grasp the essence of in her previous moment of transcendence.
She saw the moment of Alara's awakening, and it made her own heart swell with wonder. She could hardly believe her eyes as Alara's body seemed to fade away into nothingness, only to reappear a moment later, changed beyond recognition. She had always known that Alara was special, but this was beyond even her wildest dreams. With the power to traverse the plains, Alara would be able to accomplish feats beyond anything that anyone had ever dreamed of. And as the strange energy faded away from her form, Mistweaver felt a new determination burning within her own heart. A determination to see her dear friend through the trials and tribulations that would undoubtedly await her on her incredible journey into the vast and mysterious depths of the cosmos.
With a newfound determination and resolve, Alara reached out to take Tamara's hand in hers, a gentle smile gracing her lip.
Alara falls back asleep next to her lover. Lila is back in her room alone. She is a bit uneasy being out of the wilderness for so long, as a small bird lands on her window.
Lila lay in bed, her eyes wide open as she stared at the ceiling, the silence of the night hanging heavy in the air around her. Her mind raced with a mix of excitement and nervousness as she contemplated the events that had taken place that day. The magical instruments, the ancient lore, it was all so much to take in, and yet she knew that they were only just beginning to uncover the true depths of the secrets that lay hidden in the Feywild.
Lady Lila, the sparrow says, I am here from the circle.
She sighed, sitting up in bed as the small bird perched itself on her windowsill. Pooh! Oh, the sparrows of the circle. Yes, I see. Lila smiled as she reached out and gently petted the bird's head. Well, I suppose it is time that I made a decision regarding the future of our quest. If you bring my response to them, perhaps it may be easier than attempting to communicate with the sparrows again.
The seasons are changing. The cold winds of winter are coming too soon. It looks like Queen Mab's armies are going to fight Corallon's armies.
It is time. Time for me to join the battle. To make a difference for our land. For all those who will be harmed if the Fey realms fall. She reached out her hand towards the bird on her windowsill. Go, little friend, and bring my answer to the circle. Tell them that Lila Whisperwind, daughter of Elwyn Whisperwind and Lyra Snowflower, will answer the call of duty. Lila listened to the message from the sparrow with growing apprehension, her heart sinking as she heard the fell news that Queen Mab and her armies of Winterfey would soon clash with Corellon's forces, threatening to plunge the entire Feywild into chaos and destruction. The Winterfey cannot be trusted. They will stop at nothing to take what they want, including destroying everything else in their path, she said, her voice filled with a mix of fear and resolve. And yet, if Corellon continues to pursue his reckless ambitions, I fear that the very essence of the Feywild may be lost forever. The sparrow nodded its head as Lila finished speaking, its tiny beak twitching in anticipation.
I will carry your message to the circle, it said, its voice no louder than a soft rustling in the leaves.
And I will do everything in my power to help bring balance back to the Feywild. For the love of all things wild and free, I vow it.
With that, the sparrow flies off to inform the circle of Lila's response. She knows the party must make its move soon. Ah! Mistweaver walks into Elendil's room. Elendil appears to be going through old practice songs on the lute trying to get it to play, but it still appears to be out of tune.
She gazes at the lute with curiosity as her ears twitch back in surprise to its discordant note. Did you really think this lute could play back up to a warrior's song? Mistweaver asks in an amused tone as her eyes narrow, and she ponders.
Mistweaver, what are you doing here? I'm in the middle of practicing, he replied, his voice laced with a mixture of surprise and annoyance, as he watched his cat friend step into his room without permission.
Mistweaver realizes Elendil is more agitated with himself for not living up to the legendary lute.
As Mistweaver watched Elendil play, his frustration evident in the way his fingers faltered and his voice cracked with every note he strummed on the lute. She could see that he was not just practicing, but that he was trying his very best to prove that he could handle the weight of the Whispering Seraphim lute. You are not the same, my friend, she said gently, her voice soothing as she stepped forward and placed a comforting paw on his shoulder. I know you feel a connection to the lute, but it is more than that. It is a powerful tool that you have been gifted with. You must learn to listen to your heart, as well as you do your instrument.
Elendil looked down at the paw on his shoulder, the touch of his dear friend reminding him that there was more to this quest than just wielding a legendary instrument. "I understand, Mistweaver," he replied, his voice softening. "I must remember to trust not only the power that dwells within me, but also the wisdom of my friends and the love of my heart."
The next few notes come out in a perfect melody before falling back into the dissonance.
Mistweaver listened as Elendil began to play again, and to her amazement, the next few notes that rang out from the whispering seraphim lute were perfect. The melody was clear and beautiful, speaking to her very soul in a way that the discordant notes had not been able to do. A sense of hope and wonder filled her as she watched Elendil play, a reminder that with love and perseverance, anything was possible.
"Remember, my friend, it's not just about the notes on a page, or even the strings that resonate upon being plucked." He had been taught by a wise old bard before setting out on his journey to unite the Feywild. As Elendil remembered the words of his mentor, he realized that he'd been so focused on mastering the technique of playing the lute that he had forgotten about the true essence of what made this instrument so powerful in the first place.
She listened closely, as she could see the moment Elendil started to understand, and finally felt the lute's magic wash over them.
There is a knock at the door. Everyone else in the house is still asleep.
The sound of a knocking on the door roused Elendil and Mistweaver from their thoughts, causing them to pause momentarily before stepping away from one another. "We should answer it, my dear," Elendil said, his voice still slightly hoarse from his recent struggles to master the whispering seraphim lute, but filled with a newfound resolve. He rose to his feet, the lute safely tucked away in its case, and began to make his way towards the door, his steps light and determined.
Standing at the front door is Devon, old blood dried to his clothes from his last meal, his skin pale in the moonlight, as Elendil recognizes the vampire.
As Elendil pulled open the front door to reveal his old acquaintance Davon standing there, the vampire's pale skin and dried bloodstains seemed to leap out at him in the moonlight. Elendil could hardly believe it. The last time they had seen one another, Davon was the head of the Thieves' Guild in Cassius, and here he was now, standing on the doorstep of Elendil's new home in the middle of the night. The mere sight of the vampire filled him with a mixture of shock, suspicion, and trepidation. "What are you doing here, Davon?" he asked, his voice low and tense. "I thought I made it clear that you were no longer welcome in my life." He paused for a moment, his mind racing as he tried to figure out what could possibly bring the leader of the thieves to his door.
She listened intently, her eyes narrowing as she studied the vampire before them. She knew Elendil, and she knew the way he had always been drawn to trouble, or perhaps even sought it out, whether he meant to or not. The fact that this vampire had shown up at this late hour, just as Elendil was beginning to find his way with the whispering seraphim lute, seemed suspicious enough. "I'll keep an eye on things in here," she said quietly to Elendil, as she slipped past him and into the room behind him. Her tail twitched nervously behind her as she kept watch from the shadows, ready to leap to Elendil's defense if needed.
"You think you could walk into my house and take my things without my noticing?" Davon licks his lips. "I can smell you and your pet for miles. You might have given the guards a slip, but you haven't lost me."
I don't know what to say. Elendil tried to keep his voice steady and calm, but his eyes betrayed the mix of fear, shock, and curiosity that filled his heart as he gazed upon Davon before him.
Davon reaches for Elendil's cloak, his hand stopping just outside of the threshold of the house. "I'll be seeing you, old friend. I'm going to get what is mine."
Elendil felt a chill run down his spine at Devon's words. He knew that he could not let this vampire take whatever it was that he had come for, not after the trouble he had gone through to get it. "No," he said firmly, his hand shooting out to block Devon's from entering the house. "You can't just come here and take whatever you want. This is my home, and I will not let you hurt anyone inside it." His eyes narrowed and he could see a flicker of anger in them as he stared Devon down. "You can leave now, and we can forget that you ever showed up here," or... His voice trailed off, a dangerous edge to his words as he let the thought hang in the air. "Or I can give you back your precious little axe."
"Was that a threat? I know better than that. You could barely fight with a blade. I doubt you could use that axe," he says, his voice filled with confidence. "I'll kill you, lass. First, I think I'll drink that red-head wizard you have in there. Then, maybe I'll kill the dwarf for fun."
Mistweaver watched through a crack in the wall, her whiskers twitching in fury. "That son of a bitch just threatened my friends," she growls, then runs out the front door, ready to meet him head on.
With blinding speed, Davant grasped Mistweaver by the scuff of her fur. Oh, this is the little pet that bit my guards. Nasty thing. I should snap your neck for that.
Let go of me, you murdering monster. She struggles fiercely in Davant's grasp, her claws trying to dig into his hands.
You bastard! Elendil shouts as he draws his blade. Let her go!
Hromgar and Valarissa awaken with the yell. Davant takes a step back from the door. Oh, please don't take one more step outside. I'm so scared of you, he says sarcastically.
You'll get what's coming to you, Hromgar grumbles, his eyes locked on the vampire. You'll wish you'd never set eyes on an iron-wrought dwarf.
That's enough, Davant, Valarissa warns, stepping into the room from the hallway. You've made a grave mistake showing up here tonight.
Oh, 3 versus 1, Derek. I should take my leave, he says as the nails of his hand dig into Mistweaver's skin.
Valarissa watched in horror as Davant began to squeeze the life from Mistweaver, the claws of his hand digging into her neck. No, you bastard, you don't get to leave. She snarled as her body began to glow with the fierce energy of the draconic blood that ran through her veins. Her scales began to shimmer, and her wings sprang forth from her back as she stepped forward, ready to take on the vampire threat head-on. But despite her newfound strength, a part of her heart ached for her beloved companion, the beautiful feline cat who had been by her side for so long and whom she had come to love like family. The very thought of her being hurt caused pain to ripple through her core and rage to surge within her chest as she faced off against the man who sought to end her dearest friend.
Before Valarissa can get to him, there is a snap of Mistweaver's neck as her body falls to the floor. He then grabs the flying Valarissa and pins her to the ground. Oh, a paladin, he says as his skin burns from Valarissa's holy energy. I'm too strong to let that stop me.
Valarissa lay pinned beneath the weight of the vampire, his fingers digging into her flesh as she tried to fight back against his insidious control. You'll pay for what you've done, she spat out, her voice strained as she struggled against him. The pain that coursed through her body was almost unbearable, and yet she knew that she could not give in to it. Not while there was still breath in her lung, and not while there was still a chance to protect her friend and to seek revenge against this monster who had dared to hurt her beloved companion. With a final surge of strength, Valarissa set her body beneath the vampire, attempting to throw him off of her. She knew that she had to act fast, for every moment that passed, Davant only grew stronger and more powerful, his thirst for her blood seeming to feed his dark magic and his unholy might.
As he watched from the door, the pain and rage that coursed through Valarissa's body, the tears that streamed down her face, he felt a primal fury begin to build up inside of him. You're a dead man, Davant, he roared as he charged forward, his axe swinging in powerful arcs as he bore down upon the vampire. And I swear to the gods themselves that you'll regret the day you set foot on our soil.
Tamaros storms into the room with the Vorpal blade unsheathed.
Elendil's face contorts with rage and sorrow at Mistweaver's death, his eyes glowing red as the whispering seraphim lute hums with energy in his hands.
Gromgar's axe bites into the vampire's flesh. Blood begins to form on his leg as the holy axe tries to repel the vampire. Valarissa pulls herself free as the vampire Davant turns towards the dwarf. Before he can react, Davant unleashes an arctic blast from his hands. Looks like Elendil's friend pick up a few more tricks.
The dwarf staggers backwards as he is struck with froth.
Damn you, Davant! Valarissa cries out, the ice-coating Gromgor's axe sizzling and dripping off as she summoned her inner fire to melt it away. She lunged towards the vampire, her wings beating fiercely behind her as she tried to close the distance between them and take him down before he could recover from the surprise attack.
Elendil raised the whispering seraphim lute, its strings vibrating with a power and energy that he had never felt before. And then he began to sing, the music of the ancient instrument ringing out with a melody that spoke of courage, sacrifice, and the unbreakable bond of friendship. As he sang, he felt the power of the lute flow through him, igniting a fire within his very soul. The flames danced along the length of his sword, their colors shifting from fiery red to purifying white, as he called upon the strength of the Archfey, who had entrusted this legendary instrument to his care.
O guardian, you appear to have met a cruel fate.
She lay still as a stone in the corner of the room, the weight of her shattered body, heavy in the cold darkness. She could not bear the thought of leaving Elendil behind, and so she had fought on until her last breath. As the faint light from the candles flickered and dimmed around her, she closed her eyes, her heart still filled with the love for the friends who had meant the world to her.
Open your eyes, guardian. Your spirit has returned to our realm, says the Master of Dreams.
She opens her eyes slowly, as her body is returned to its whole form once again. A beautiful, serene meadow stretches out in front of her as the dream realm unfolds before her. Thank you, Master, she says as she rises to her feet, her tail swaying softly in the breeze. I must go back. My friends will need me.
I know, you can go back, but only 8 more times. You know the bargain your kind struck long ago.
I am aware, Master, but it is worth it for the lives of my friends, she says, her eyes alight with determination.
Be careful, you are needed for the wars ahead.
I will, Master, but until then, she says, stepping off into the dream realm towards Elendil's friends, her heart full with the love for those she would lay her life to save.
Miss Weaver's body begins to move again, and she stands back up.
I'm coming, she says to her friends through the door as she quickly limps out the back door into the yard, away from Devon.
Lila hears the noise of struggle coming from inside. She dashes in through the doorway with her staff in hand.
Thank the gods, Larissa whispered as she watched Miss Weaver emerge from the door, her body moving with a renewed strength and purpose. She knew that her dear friend had suffered a grave injury, but seeing the spark of determination and resolve that still shone in her eyes gave Valerissa hope that they could yet emerge from this fight.
Ilara Glintharda watched through the crack in the wall, her breath coming in ragged gasps. The sight of Davon standing over Mistweaver's broken body filled her with rage and grief, the anger coursing through her veins like a wildfire, but she could also feel the pain of the loss that had struck her own heart, the weight of it bearing down upon her as the tears streamed down her face. She knew that she had to do something to help her friend somehow, but the overwhelming sadness that filled her seemed to make every action feel like an insurmountable challenge.
The light emanates from Ilara's body as she sees the scene in front of her. Mistweaver's body thrown aside by the vampire, Valerissa injured by rising her feet, and Gromgar shaking off the icy attack. Elendil appears to be trying to play his lute as Tamaris draws his new blade.
With a deep breath, Ilara stepped out from the door, her staff glowing with the faint light of magic as she moved. The pain that filled her heart seemed to ebb away for a moment as she focused on the task at hand. Her eyes flickered from one friend to another, each one bearing the marks of the battle that they had been through. In a swift motion, Ilara raised her staff and pointed it at Defon, her eyes locking with his as she whispered an incantation. A faint glow began to emanate from her body as she channeled her magical energy into the spell, and with a sudden burst of light and sound, Devon's form vanished from the room, sucked back into the void between the planes by the arcane might of Ilara's magic. He's gone, she said, her voice still trembling with emotion. She turned to her friends, seeing the determination and resolve in their eyes. They had faced this challenge before, and they had come through it stronger than ever. With a deep breath, Ilara nodded, preparing herself for whatever lay ahead.
Gromgar Shiftstone gazed at the spot where Devon had just stood, his axe held loosely in his hand. The vampire's defeat brought a certain satisfaction to him, knowing that he had played a role in taking one more of those abominations away from the land. But there was also a lingering pain in his chest as he looks for Mistweaver.
Gromgar no longer sees Mistweaver where she was previously thrown, but then he sees her slowly limping across the yard.
The dwarf looked at the spot where Devon had stood before, but there was no trace of him now. His body had vanished, sucked into the void of another realm by the arcane magic. Gromgar knew that it would be some time before they would see the likes of Davon again, but even the memory of the vampire's malevolence left a bitter taste in the back of his mouth. The dwarf turned towards his companions, seeing that Valerissa had been injured in the battle as well. Gromgar knew that he had to do something to help them heal and recover as they prepared for the challenges that still awaited them ahead. But even as his thoughts raced through his mind, he could not help but feel a growing concern for the cat who had been his constant companion through so many trials and tribulations. Where was Mistweaver, and what had happened to her in this battle against the forces of darkness?
Don't worry, Gromgar. I'm all right. Just a bit weak, but I am recovering. She says to the dwarf with a weak but reassuring smile. I have to get back to my body again and rest, but I'm sure I can do it again.
That's my girl. You will never give up, Valarissa said with a smile, the love in her eyes evident, even as her gaze flickered to the spot where Devon had vanished. We all have wounds, but they will heal. In the meantime, you can rest your body here. Elendil will find you again once your time returns.
Elendil watches as the friends talk. His music can be heard from inside the house as he plays soothing tunes.
Elendil plays a basic tune with his lute. The music plays beautifully. While he still hasn't mastered the instrument, it has let him play some of the more basic melodies.
As Elendil played, his fingers danced along the strings of the whispering seraphim lute. The music flowed from him, a mixture of emotions and thoughts that he could not verbalize. In that moment, he felt the weight of his responsibilities as the keeper of the legendary instrument. The song that he played spoke of friendship, of unity, of hope, and of the determination to see the challenges that lay before them to the end. It was a song of life, of light, of the power of love, and of the human spirit to overcome even the darkest of times. And as the final notes rang out in the silence of the night, Elendil felt a sense of peace wash over him. He knew that they would face more trials, more hardships, but he also knew that as long as they were together, they would find a way to overcome any obstacle that stood in their way.
Ilara touches Mistweaver's body, as she knows that her magic is slowly seeping into her companion's life force, as Mistweaver's body becomes more and more connected with her soul.
Mistweaver feels the arcane energy from Ilara. The warmth radiates into her body. Ilara cannot heal her, but at least she can replenish some of the cat's magical energies.
Oh, thank you, Ilara, she says, her voice still weak, but filled with gratitude. She can feel the arcane energy flow into her. I feel stronger. It's like your touch is nourishing me again, filling my magical energies back up.
Lila nods at Ilara in understanding. Yes, my friend is going to be all right, thanks to our help. She reaches her hands to touch Miss Weaver's forehead, then places her hands above the cat's chest to close her eyes, whispering cure.
The warmth from the spell Lila casts flows into her. She can feel the wound closing as she lays on her back, panting in pain. The last vestiges of the cold Devon's power had placed on her begin to fade as Lila's warm touch closes them.
My heart aches, Tamaris whispers, his voice soft and strained with emotion. His gaze was fixed on Mistweaver's injured body, and the sight of her lying so still and weak brought a wave of sadness that threatened to overwhelm him. But even as his heart ached for his dear friend, Tamaris could not help but feel a surge of admiration for her strength and resilience. To have suffered such a terrible injury, only to continue fighting on with all of her might, it was truly a testament to the unbreakable spirit that lay within her core. And knowing that Ilara and Lila were there, their magic and love pouring into her, he could not help but smile at the sight before him. Despite everything that had happened, despite the pain and sorrow that surrounded them, he could still feel the presence of hope and healing in this moment.
Mistweaver's going to be all right. Lila's magic has been strong against Devon's powers, Elendil says, his voice tinged with relief. He stepped away from the door, the sound of the whispering seraphim lute still ringing in the night air around him. Even in the face of so much tragedy and danger, he had found solace in his music, a reminder of the love and strength that bound him to his companions. And with each passing moment, with each note he played, he knew that they would find their way through the darkness, as they had always done before. They were not invincible, but they were unbreakable, and in the end, that was all that truly mattered.
Gromgar stands there in stunned silence, looking down at Mistweaver and shaking his head, then looks up to the sky.
As the night begins to end, the party knows that while they cast Devon away, this is likely not the last time they have seen the vampire.
We need to be more vigilant, Mistweaver. That bastard is dangerous, and I can't believe we managed to trap him, she says, looking at the now empty doorway.
Morning on the estate. The area is cleaned up after the fight with Devon.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the adventure. Stay tuned for more episodes. You can watch us play on twitch.tv at the Guildhall Podcast channel. If you want to join a game or just say hi, stop by our Discord. Details are at the-guildhall.net. The music in this episode was created by Philip E. Ray and used under Creative Commons. Thank you, and I hope to see you next time.